Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch all the way over there. Before we get started, our usual disclaimer, neither Anthony nor I nor our guest today are licensed medical professionals, psychologists or psychiatrists, so please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest, and while you're leaving stuff, you can leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, whatever you like. Share us around, drop us a message, get in touch, and over to you, Anthony. Hello.
Hello, Nicole. It's always so nice to see you.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome back. Welcome back. And excited about today.
Yeah. Today we have with us a gal that I met several years ago. Actually, in her and her husband, I met them in a chat group, actually. The World Hypnosis Discussion Group, I think is what it's called.
World Hypnosis Collaboration.
And we've met, Daniel has been on the show from there that I met there as well. So anyway, everybody, Joanne Abramson, she is from Yonkers, New York, and she's been in the business a long time, NGH winner of all sorts of awards and stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Joanne?
Sure. I got certified by the AAEH, which was a group association to advance ethical hypnosis, in 1987. I took my first training with Richard Hart in 1986, and I took an internship and two internships, actually. And I studied everything there was to know about the hypnosis. In 1987, I went to my first NGH conference, I believe. No, 1988, I went to my first NGH conference. And as a new hypnotist, I went to every talk and everything that they gave, didn't take any breaks for lunch. By the end of the 3 days, I was exhausted, but I had to absorb everything that was going on. So I was very active in the Association to Advance Ethical Hypnosis. I started out as a secretary. And then when the executive director passed away in the early 90s, I became their executive director.
Oh, nice.
So I was the executive director, publisher of Suggestion Magazine, and I did all the AAEH conferences in the early 90s. We would have the conferences in Newark, New Jersey. So I really enjoyed putting together the conferences. But
I don't know why. I put on one here in the Pacific Northwest, and we're starting our second annual one, and it has not been fun. it's not enjoyable at all, not until you get there.
Right.
So yeah, good for you. I can understand. I mean, even Richard talking, you know Richard well.
Yes.
He said one of the reasons that he left it here in the Pacific Northwest years ago was because it's, you know, for one thing, it's outrageously expensive here in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you started very early on, and you've been building your career since. And I'm surprised. I must have, you know what? This kind of changes things a little bit. I think I must have met you because you're friends with Karen, Karen Ann Harper, who's been a guest on the show.
Yes.
And so I'm sure that she would have introduced us if we were at the NGH conference the first year I was there, which would have been, 2016 or 17. That was my first and only NGH conference, but I'm sure she must have introduced us.
I didn't know Karen back then.
You didn't?
No. We only met on the World Hypnosis Collaboration.
Oh, right on. Why don't you tell everybody about what that is, for those of you who don't know out there?
Okay. World Hypnosis Collaboration is a number of hypnotists from worldwide who get together once a week on a Tuesday at noontime. It's by invitation only. And we discuss various topics like Ericksonian hypnosis, limiting beliefs, weight management. We also share hypnotic techniques. We share inductions. We share different things that we talk about with our clients. What do you include in pre-talks? So we have Daniel, as you know, from Lebanon. We have Beryl Comer from Spain.
Valencia, Spain. Yes, I know. I'm going to be there in a few weeks, and we talked, and I'm not going to be able to run down and have coffee with her because she's too far away. But yes, we know and love Beryl.
So then we have Barb Davies, who's from Canada. Marguerite, who's from Canada.
Barb has been on the show too.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had lots of folks from there. Now you, and then pretty soon your husband, because you're both in hypnosis.
Right.
And so, yeah. And what is...
So tell us a bit about your areas of interest, Joanne, what you like working with.
The things that I like working with are smoking, smokers, and weight management. Those are two things I really like working with. Of course, if somebody calls me and says they have a fear of whatever the fear is, I had a client who had a fear of driving over bridges. And I had a client who had a fear of driving on highways with trucks. And we worked with that. So I would work with just about anything, but I specifically target stop smoking and weight management.
Why is that?
What is it about those two things that
my two least favorite things are your two most favorite? And this is the beautiful thing about what we do, right? Because there's people out there who love to do the things that I don't necessarily enjoy doing. And so I know where to send them. See?
Yes, absolutely. My father was a smoker. He smoked 2.5 packs of Camels a day. And he gave up smoking, not using hypnosis. He just gave up smoking on a bet. But he never developed lung cancer, but he did get cancer. And I think it's attributed to the smoking. And he died at 72, which is, quite early.
Yes.
And so that's why I like smoking clients, because I want to help them avoid all of that health issues. And the other thing, the weight management. When I took my training with Dick Hart, I weighed 225 pounds on my
foot. Oh, you were a big girl.
I was. I weighed.
I don't know how that translates into kilos.
A lot. That's like 20 stones.
That doesn't work for me.
I don't know if that's, but I don't know if that's right either. Cause I think a stone is 10 pounds or 12 pounds. So that would be like 200 and that'd be like 20 stone, I think. It's fairly.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I've got it. It's about 100 kilos.
Anyway, that's for all of you listeners who translate into.
Need to do the math.
So when I started with the training, I weighed 225 pounds. And Dick Hart was very, very considerate. And he said to me, you're training to work with weight loss, stop smoking, especially weight loss. He says, he looked at me and he said, you want to work with weight loss. You want your clients to see you and you're working with weight loss. You know, you're fat. He came right out and said it. So he worked with me for weight management, and he worked with another gentleman to stop smoking. So while we were having the training, we got to see in actuality working with weight management and stop smoking. So I think my two favorite things go back to my mentor, Dick Hart.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, why wouldn't it? And it's the things that are near and dear to your heart on top of that. I mean, it's the reason why I work with what I work with, right? I mean, so yeah, that makes total sense.
And
so tell us a bit more about your journey with.
Very interesting. So I worked with him, and by the time I was finished the training, which was about maybe 6 months later, I had dropped to 200 pounds. And then I continued on my own till I got down to about 180. And I continued and I continued to work with myself with hypnosis, self-hypnosis. And I dropped down to, I guess, about 160, 165. And that's where I am today. I do want to lose a little bit more weight right now, but I'm at 160, 165 today, depending on where I am and what I'm eating.
Right so on.
Wow.
I learned to manage my weight. And right now I'm writing a book. Oh, well, I have to segue into something else that I liked working with. I like working with stress management and cancer patients. Because I myself had breast cancer in 2020, right at the height of COVID. And I healed from the breast cancer.
Right.
I went through surgery, chemo, and radiation. And interesting enough, my husband, who's also a hypnotist, helped me through getting over I really never had much side effects like nausea or indigestion or loss of appetite because of the chemo and the radiation. And hypnosis also helped me when I had to stay in a certain position for the radiation. You know, your people can't see it, but imagine your arm, a pretzel behind you, and your other arm is a pretzel behind you and over your head. And I had to stay in that position for like 10 or 15 minutes while they did the radiation. So the fact that there is catalepsy with hypnosis and explaining catalepsy to the people, catalepsy is a condition.
Oh, yeah. So you were able to do all of that, and then with Robert's help, you were able to not get the sickness or anything else. Have you written a book about that too? Because
no.
I know you've got one. You've got one or two books out there already, don't you?
My first book is Self-Hypnosis, Easy as 1, 2, 3, subtitled 3 Minutes to Change Your Life.
Right on.
And that's for everybody and anybody. And the second book is A Potpourri of Hypnotic Techniques, adding the wow factor to your practice. And that is for anybody who's interested in learning about hypnosis, plus hypnotists who are already trained, and it gives them different suggestions and ideas, and there's induction techniques and regression techniques.
Oh, very good.
So
now when you work
years, you must have collected a lot of different tools and ways of doing things, and you know, learning from lots of different people and pulling things together. So I guess you said that you did a lot of learning and a lot of, you know, trainings in the beginning, and I'm guessing that you've kind of found your own way of doing things as well, and kind of taken what you like and developed techniques through your intuition, through working with people.
Yes, I have. And again, going back to my love of weight management, I'm working right now. When I had the cancer, they asked me if I wanted to be in a study to see if you lose weight during the study and you lower the incidence of reoccurring breast cancer. And it was a 2-year study where I had guidelines. I met with a coach and we did we changed different habits along the way. So my weight management book is tentatively now called weighing in on hypnosis, change your habits for permanent weight loss.
Right on.
And that's going to be a book of hypnotic suggestions geared towards the different habits that you have that you need to change. For example, if you need, you have to drink more water. So a suggestion would be every day I drink 64 ounces of water a little at a time and I feel great. So that's one habit you need to change. Another habit you may need to change is not eating after 7 o'clock. Because the body can't metabolize the food that you eat later in the day, or it's harder for the body to metabolize that food. So a suggestion might be, I eat all of my meals before 7 o'clock and I feel great.
Right on.
That's just to give you an example. So that book is in the works right now. So if anybody goes into Amazon and types in my name, Joanne Abrahamson, JoanneAbrahamson, my two books will come up.
Right. And I believe that, you know, I don't know if I actually got it from you in an email. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to have all your contact information in the announcement as well.
Okay.
Yep. So when is that book coming out? Or is it there? So there are all of them are already out.
No, just the two self-hypnosis books and the potpourri book is out.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, what? I'm easily confused, Joanne.
The way, and then you mentioned, am I going to do something about the cancer? And the next book after the weight management book is My Cancer Journey.
Oh, right on. Very good. Because, yeah, that's definitely something I know. So when I was in massage school, I worked with the Oregon Health Sciences University in their cancer area. There were several of us who did a cancer track, and we went and worked with multiple breast cancer patients. They're clients for us, but patients for them, but all sorts of stuff. It is something that definitely needs to, regardless, there's never enough information from enough different people because everybody's got a different experience with it.
Right. So that'll be my cancer journey.
Right on.
Mm. We've touched on this before on the podcast in terms of how we can help cancer clients with hypnosis. And you mentioned some of the things before, helping with nausea, with symptoms, with, you know, responses to treatments and things like that. I think you said you used a lot of self-hypnosis as well, right, during that time. Could you kind of explain a bit more about that for people that are interested?
I use self-hypnosis, as I said, to, a couple of ways I use self-hypnosis. When you have to get chemotherapy, I have terrible veins and it's really hard for someone to get a vein, and you have to do that when you have chemo. So they had to poke me several times. So that could be very painful. So I use self-hypnosis to minimize that uncomfortable feeling of having the needle inserted. And when you have chemo, you're there for maybe 3-4 hours. So I also used self-hypnosis for time distortion. And what time distortion is in hypnosis is that, you know how, let me explain it this way. When you're listening to a boring speaker, the time seems to go so slowly, right? But if you're enjoying yourself, and you're working on an activity that's really, really interesting and fun, the time goes very quickly. Hmm. That's time distortion. We can create that using hypnosis. So I did that. Hmm. So in addition to managing the uncomfortableness of having the needle inserted, I also did time distortion to make the time seem quicker. And then again, I used hypnosis for catalepsy so that I could stay in that position for radiation.
Mm. And how do you approach self-hypnosis? Because this is quite a big topic, actually. And I believe we were discussing it on one of the episodes. But it would be great to get, you've written a book on it. It would be great to get your take on how you approach self-hypnosis.
I approach self-hypnosis a little differently than anybody else. If you give yourself a suggestion in hypnosis, you have to use your conscious critical mind to give yourself the suggestion. You know, you're going to create the suggestion. And then when you put yourself into hypnosis and then give yourself the suggestion. But if you use your conscious critical mind, you lighten the hypnosis. Because if we use conscious critical mind, you have to come up a little bit from the hypnotic trance in order to give yourself that suggestion. With my method of self-hypnosis, and this goes back to Harry Arons, way, way back into the 50s when he developed this method. You give yourself the suggestion before you go into hypnosis. And then while you're in hypnosis, the suggestion goes around in your head. And you prepare yourself for that by giving yourself, it takes about 2 weeks to prepare yourself to do that. My book explains everything. The first week, before you go to bed at night, you say to yourself, every day and every way, I get better and better. And you count 10 times on your fingers to make sure that you stay awake for those 10 times. Every day and every way, I get better and better. And then you go to sleep. During the day, you give yourself, you're going to do a time set for 3 minutes. You look at a spot on the wall, count backwards, 3, 2, 1, close your eyes. And then with your eyes closed, you count backward from 50 to 1 very slowly. 50, 49, 48, 47, until you reach the count of 1. When you reach the count of 1, you open your eyes and bring yourself out of hypnosis. What that does, it establishes the 2.5 to 3 minute time set that you're going to be in hypnosis once you give yourself the suggestion. So now you're ready to formulate your own suggestion. And suggestions, there's a criteria for action suggestions. It should be positive. It should be action, positive, simple, believable, measurable, carry a reward, and there should be a time frame. I explain all of the things that need to go into that suggestion in order to meet those criteria. So now let's assume you've written your suggestion. Maybe you want to eat, let's go back to weight management. Maybe your suggestion or your habit that you need to change is you enjoy more fruits and vegetables every day. Mm. So the suggestion that you're going to formulate for yourself, or let's do exercise. That's one that people really are reluctant. When you're on a weight management plan, you need to increase your activity and reduce your food, reduce your calories.
Yeah.
That's how you lose weight. So let's say somebody came to me, they wanted to exercise. And I had one client who wanted to do aerobics every day. So I asked her, do you do aerobics now? And she said, no. She says, but I want to do 30 minutes of aerobics every day. Well, that's going to be a little difficult to do. So I asked her if she's willing to do 10 minutes of aerobics every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll just put a time frame in there. And she says, I could do that, but I want to do more. I said, well, just promise yourself that you're going to do aerobics every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 10 minutes. She said, all right, I can do that. So we came up with the suggestion that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m., that's when she goes to her exercise class, I do aerobics for 10 minutes and I feel great. That suggestion meets all the criteria of having action, being positive, being simple, being believable. That's the most important one, believable. Has to be believable to you. Yeah. So now you've established the time set. So now you write your suggestion on a piece of paper. You hold the suggestion in front of you. You read it three times. After you read it three times, you close your eyes and allow yourself to go into hypnosis. Now, you don't have to worry about the time because you've already established the time set the week before. So now that suggestion is going to go around in your head. And the reason why every suggestion has to be positive is because the suggestion might break up. So it may sound like I do aerobics every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m. and I feel great. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, do aerobics 7 p.m. feel great. And the suggestion may break up. So now you'll know when 2.5 or 3 minutes is over. And then you just count from one to three and open your eyes. It takes 2 weeks for a suggestion to take hold.
That's great. So you've got this training, you know, so your training process in place, if you like. So you're training yourself. So you've got that kind of time, the timing already set into your mind. So you don't need to worry about that. So it's a really nice little tidy process that you've put together there.
It is a nice little
book goes into suggestions for stress management, for stopping smoking, for weight management, for sports performance.
Very good. And now I noticed that this year you taught at the NGH convention this year too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Very good.
I did the self-hypnosis. I did the potpourri of hypnotic techniques, and then I did my favorite thing to teach, inductions.
Oh, very good. Very good. How was the conference this year?
It was very good.
Very good. I like to hear that.
It was good. It was the NGH conference many years ago was so crowded. Didn't enjoy that at all. Because if you had a workshop or a talk that you wanted to hear at one end of the building and you had to get to the other end of the building, you only had 10 minutes and it was very crowded and hard to pass. I like it that it's less crowded. They had about 250 people, maybe, and a lot of rooms were being used.
That's a good size function. I don't think that people understand unless they put something like this together and done it. That's a healthy, respectable turnout. That's even too big for what I want. But it is the NGH, right? And they've got some good folks in the NGH for sure.
And the difference this year was that you paid a little bit higher in your fee, but all the workshops and all the seminars were included. In the past, if you wanted to go to a workshop, it was an additional $25 or 5 workshops for $100.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That's why I never did any of the workshops when I was there.
But this time, everything was included. So
very good. Very good. Well, and Nicole, do you have anything else, dear?
No, Joanne, it's been really, really fascinating listening to you and talking to you and hearing some of your experience, really. And we'll be really pleased to share your books and your links, your website. We found your website. Yep. So we'll be happy to share all of that with our listeners. And so people can get in touch with you.
Can I tell you about my most interesting client?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We're still not done yet anyway, but go ahead.
Okay.
We've got one more question that we're going to ask at the end.
Oh, all right. Okay. About 10 years ago, I worked with a gentleman for public speaking because he was getting a promotion at work and he had to do trainings and he was very fearful of public speaking. So I worked with him. He did the trainings and he was very successful. He comes to me 10 years later for sports nerves. He was going to be a contestant on American Ninja Warrior. And there were cameras and audiences. And when he was on the platform, he would get very nervous and then forget his routine. So I worked with him to eliminate those nerves so that when he was on the platform in front of the camera, he was able to take a few deep breaths, be calm, relax, in control, and then go through the challenges.
Right so on.
He did pretty good. He never got into the semifinals, but he never
That's
got into the
That's a hard
final,
freaking competition.
But he did get into the semifinals.
Right on.
So that was a good success, right, and that was fun.
Nice.
That's a hard competition. But so now here is our only regular question that we ask every single person. Is there something in your hypnosis career that looking back, you would say to a new hypnotist that was out there, you know what, this probably wasn't the best thing to do, whether it was something with a client or something in your business? What kind of advice would you give that new hypnotist out there and say, you know what, don't do this?
Okay.
Just don't do this.
When I had a perfect example for that, I usually screen my stop smoking clients on the phone. Because if they really don't want to stop smoking, I don't want them to come to me and say, I tried hypnosis and it didn't work.
Right.
So I had a call from a father of a 21-year-old boy who wanted his son to stop smoking. And I said, well, does your son want to stop smoking? And he said, yes, he does. He wants to stop smoking. And I said, well, can I speak to your son? He said, no, you don't have to speak to my son. But I'll pay you, you know, whatever you need. And whatever you want up front, and we can work with my son. I had a few bills due. I'll be honest. I had a few bills that were due, and there weren't that many clients that week. So I said, okay, I charge. What did I tell him? I said, I do stop smoking in two sessions. The first session, you stop smoking, and I give you different things that you need to do, habits that you need to change, and what you need to replace instead of cigarettes the first week. Then we do a follow-up session where we go over all of those issues and we tighten up whenever needs to be tightened up. And I charge $550 for the two sessions. He said, fine, I'll mail you a check. Okay, so he mailed me a check. No, he was going to bring a check. So he brought me a check. And he came with his son. And his son is sitting in my hypnosis chair. And I'm talking to him. He said, yeah, I want to stop smoking. But, you know, I really like smoking. I enjoy smoking. So I went through the whole routine about, you know, stopping smoking and what you need to do. And he said, and I think you're charging my father an awful lot of money for this. Okay, well, I went through it with him, even though my radar says no, no, no. And of course, you know, I called him up and he didn't stop smoking. So we didn't do the session for the following week. And the father's check bounced.
Oh.
So, but you know what? Here is the beautiful thing about this is that this is has it not something very similar happened to all of us, Nicole? It's the same thing we hear from everybody. It's a little bit different, but you know, we learn those lessons when we don't listen to our intuition about the clients that we choose. And you know what? There's another perfect example. I bring it all up all the time when one of our four core archetypes is the prostitute, and that part of feeling safe and secure is the light side of that, and the shadow side of that is, am I going to go ahead and do something, work with a client that I may not usually work with because I've got to pay my bills? And you know what? That's it. This is a great lesson for everybody. Because it's something that I think that we've all been through when we've been in this business, particularly when we're self-employed.
Right. Mm. So,
yeah,
when I was working full time, I really didn't worry about how many clients I had.
Right.
But since I've been retired, you know, there is not that much income to go around. And, you know, I do worry about the number of clients that I have.
Right. Well, and you know what? It's interesting. Just last week's our buddy that was on the show here, Dan Goyette, you know, he was mentioning the same sort of thing that right now it's just kind of slim pickings out there for a lot of folks. So, you know, I think that we're all kind of in this country waiting for things to kind of turn. And I think it's coming. But on that note, I want to say thank you very much for reaching out and joining us and being on the show today. I appreciate it very much.
So much fun. And thank you for inviting me, Anthony. Thank you for inviting me, Nicole.
You're very welcome, Joanne. It's been a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure to have you on.
Same here.
Okay. We will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.